Welcome to our last module of the day, Module 6. We're going to cover monetization and store submission in this. And
very
gaming
important.
Analytics. Thank you for hanging with us so far today. We've got another good session coming up for you. And so let's dive right into monetization. So monetization strategies, there's many different ways that you can make money off your application, wouldn't you say?
Yeah,
many,
lots.
Many, many ways. You could have a free application. You can have a purchase, which in the Windows Store is a minimum of $1.49. You can have a time trial of your application, expires after X number of days. You could actually even have timed features. You can have in-app purchases and consumables if you want to buy gold coins in an application or more levels for your application. There are third-party commerce engines, and we'll talk about those just briefly in a little bit. You can use Microsoft Ads through the Pub Center. You can use a third-party ad sharing network. At Microsoft, we try to give you many, many choices on the way to make money on your application. Possibly more so than most other platforms, I would like to say.
Yeah,
we provide a lot of choices there, right?
I know for most of the platforms, they're going to take something like 30% of the revenue for handling the commerce for you. You know, they're providing you a great service. And with the Microsoft platform, it's going to be a 30% cut only for the first $25,000. And after your app has made $25,000, then they're only going to take 20% cut. So you're going to be making 80% of your profits after $25,000.
That's pretty good.
And like you mentioned, you can use a third-party commerce. And then it's all yours.
And it's all yours, unless your third party takes a lot of that. But yes. So let's go ahead and look at what some of these options look like here. There's a very famous game, Cut the Rope. Now, this is a free install. So the idea with this that you get the game for free, you have the option of purchasing some additional levels later. But the actual game itself, you get a good experience. It's free. And I think Jeremy will cover that a little bit on how you do that on store submission.
Right.
So another game here, Halo Spartan Assault. This is an outright purchase of the game. $6.99, you click on buy, and you have the game. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have other in-app purchases. Maybe you want to do other levels in there or advanced features in there. But from a basic level, that's what the buy interface looks like when someone goes to purchase your game. Now, if you want to do a trial, you set that also upon upload. And you can detect features while your application's running. You can do trial feature trials or a full application trial. In this case, we're looking at a screenshot for Bejeweled. So you can come right out and buy this for $4.99, or you can try it for X number of days. A third scenario is you can have someone try your application and certain features expire after a certain amount of time. They can actually purchase them for an amount of time. This one here is from Cut the Rope on how you would actually purchase this once the game's running. So it's a free game, you play a bunch of levels, I love this game, then you can go on and buy the full game and get a whole lot more levels. So this looks like it's an outright purchase, but because of the way that this is integrated into the game, this is an in-app purchase. And once you would click on buy full game, the API controls the interface here to confirm the purchase from the Windows Store. You click on buy, and you go ahead and purchase it, and it's now, per your Microsoft account, per your email account, whatever you've registered with, this game is now yours, and it can actually travel across devices.
And by default, I think this is nice, by default, it prompts me for my password again, right there after I hit purchase, so that if somebody's picked up my tablet because I set it down, they can't go to the store and spend a whole bunch of my money without my password.
Like if the kids load it up and they want to buy an awesome dino and hamburger game? Yes?
I think there's a maximum price for the store of $9.99. So, you know, real close to $1,000. Do you think you'll be able to get that for your dino game?
I don't know. There was a lot of excitement over that. This one here is an example of ads in an application. This is Card Games Chest. A whole bunch of card games in a suite for Windows 8. And at the bottom of the screen, on the lower left-hand corner, you get various ads that rotate while you're playing the game. Now, this is a great strategy for making money, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But the idea here is when people are playing the app, they want to unlock additional features or just get rid of the ads or both. And they can click on the Remove Ads button, and they'll be prompted to purchase it, and the ads go away. Now, when you write your application, you have to detect they've done that purchase, that they purchased that particular feature, and make sure that you don't show that anymore. So you do have a little bit of code in that, but some of the gaming frameworks do have those features integrated, so it's a couple clicks and away you go. Next, Jeremy touched upon this quickly on the revenue share, but here it is in front of you to take a look at with revenue sharing up to 80%. So by default, everybody's at 70% across the board, up to $25,000. Above $25,000, you keep 80% of the money. Nobody else does that. So it's another cool way if your application is very successful that you keep even more money for your game. Another option that we allow is third-party commerce. So let's say you want somebody to purchase through PayPal in your application. You can easily integrate. There's actually a PayPal SDK that you can load up into your Windows 8 application and have somebody purchase more levels or whatever feature in your application. There is no revenue share with Microsoft. Microsoft does not get a cut of that. That is between you and the third party itself. It gives you a lot of flexible options. There's a lot of different commerce providers, payment providers, and I'm seeing growing numbers of SDKs for integration into Windows 8 WinRT applications.
There's actually one website to go to. Are you going to talk about that?
Which one?
Services.windowsstore.com.
Excellent.
Yeah, services.windowsstore.com will show you all of these third-party partners that you can basically just plug in to your Windows 8 app and take advantage of.
And that's a good point. You don't want to think that suddenly you can just go home and say, I'll write my own credit card processing service, because there are certain security features that somebody needs to implement. Writing your own payment provider takes kind of quite a bit of work, so you want to make sure that you incorporate that into your application using an established source. I just don't want to make the point that you can go home, collect credit card numbers, and start keeping them, because you can't. There are definitely some restrictions there, but there are many providers you can integrate with. Let's take a look at what the Pub Center looks like. So the Pub Center allows you to define ads. And pop out of... Can you see it? Are we good?
We're good.
We're good. All righty. Let me sign into the Pub Center here. The Pub Center is where, for Windows 8 applications and Windows Phone, that you go to set up your application to receive ads. There are only two things that are required here. You register an application, and you say it's going to go to Windows 8 or Windows Phone. We'll call this Feed the Dino. Now you have an application ID. That is one of two pieces of information that you need to use this in your application. The second is an ad unit. And the reason that you need ad units are to define what sort of ad sizes are going to be in your application. So let's go into create an application ad unit. And we want to call this we'll call a 728 by 90 bottom bar. The reason that you might want to name your ads something important is if you have multiple ads in your application, that when you go into analytics later on, you can see which ad is maybe bringing you more money, being displayed the most. And ad unit size, you have several sizes to choose here, and you can see where they show up in your application. These are just recommended placements. They don't have to be in those locations, but you do want to make sure that they flow well inside of your application. Now, there are ways in the various frameworks that we've discussed to get ads in your apps. Construct 2 and YoYo Games Game Maker, there are plugins that you can get, right, gentlemen, to be able to incorporate Pub Center ads into there.
Yeah, actually.
Michael off camera. What's that?
A colleague of ours named Ryan Joy wrote the plugin for Construct 2. So I'll go ahead and drop his information in the chat window if you want to tune in there and find out where that is.
Perfect. And since there's an ad SDK that you can download for your WinRT applications, because Unity can export to Windows 8, I showed you through the build window, you can just simply open up your XAML C# project, drop in your ad SDK in there. There are also third-party plugins that you can purchase as well that integrate with the various stores on there as well. So you can get in-app purchases through Microsoft, Pub Center through Microsoft, using a third-party component, or if you just want to go in and use the code yourself, you can do it manually as well. So we've set up our ad here. And you can specify your categories of ads that you want to be shown. So it's a game, so maybe you want to stick specific to the gaming realm. Save that. Now your ad unit is created. You have the two pieces of information that you need to be able to display your ad in there. And it says to enable this ad in your application, insert this ad unit ID and application ID in your code as explained here. It's a very easy setup. Use your add unit name and this add unit ID and your application ID, and you are all good to go. So let's switch back to the slide deck here and talk about which way you want to go on how you're going to do your application. You have many choices, right? So you can go free. You can go free with ads. You can go free with in-app purchases, maybe with ads too. You can have a trial. You can pay once for an app. You can pay once for the app with features enabled via those in-app purchases. You can have all of the above choices, maybe with consumables in your application. Consumables are, let's say you want somebody to purchase extra power for their characters, or gold coins in a game, something that they use over and over again. Maybe they want to purchase a pack of gold coins, and then they want to purchase another one, and another one, and another one. So those are consumables. Maybe you want some sort of subscriptions to your application. There are many choices to consider on how you want to make money off your application. It's been said that you want to change your strategy potentially as you go on. You might try an application strategy now that you realize a few weeks after deploying your application, it might be better. So you might start free. A lot of people are using the application. You might say, you know what? I want to release a new version with in-app purchases. So be prepared to make some changes to your strategy that you're going to be using. If it's a brand new application, consider an outright application purchase and then maybe in-app purchases, or maybe even provide a free app with in-app purchases. One of the reasons you might want to include it purchase up front is maybe a lot of people don't know about it. You want to start recouping some of that development cost. So you may want to have it purchase and then additional in-app purchases. Later on, once you get a large user base, you might say, you know what? I want to put out a version of this that for new users that have ads. But you want to be careful because you don't want old users who've previously purchased it to start getting ads. So you have to do a little bit of feature detection as you write your game. You can provide the in-app purchases for various levels, additional levels you want to purchase for your game. In all of the games that we develop, we might want to add extra levels. Maybe new dinosaurs that you can purchase, extra levels, extra dino worlds, gold and capabilities. So just be prepared to make changes on the strategy and various releases for your application.
All right. I think we should talk about store submission. After all, you've just created an awesome game. You may as well submit that to the store and start making money, right?
Definitely.
Absolutely. Okay, so here's the thing. The Windows Store is a really good, it's a great marketplace, especially right now because it's still a relatively small marketplace. I don't know how much longer we'll be able to call it small because it's growing like gangbusters.
Sure is.
It really is. But you don't have 2,000 of the same exact kind of app in the store yet. And so if you make an app that has any kind of differentiation, if it's unique at all, you're going to be the only one in the store like that. And so you're going to be able to, you're going to seriously have some opportunity. And that's really what we're looking for as developers. So it's a great store and it's a great opportunity. And we want to package up our project and we want to put it in the store. Okay. So let's go ahead and take a look at what it is that the store is expecting from us, all right? The store is expecting this. This is an appx upload file, okay? It's one file. It ends with .appx upload. And the store doesn't care whether you started writing in Unity or GameMaker or writing from scratch or whatever. However you wrote your application, this is what the store needs. Now we're going to fill out an entire application for submitting an app to the store in just a second. And we're going to provide it with one of these appx uploads. But because we're all developers and we're all geeks, what I'd really like to do is dissect one of these for you. Okay, so this is kind of like physics school, and we're going to take one of these apart. So I'm going to jump over into my file system, and we're going to look at an appx upload that I've created elsewhere and for other reasons. Now, I just talked in the chat room about a project that I do called Code Show. Code Show is a Windows 8 app using HTML and JavaScript that's sole purpose is to teach you how to make Windows 8 apps using HTML and JavaScript. So we Adam and Michael both work on this project with me, and we are currently working on the Windows 8.1 version of it. And this might be a really good time to invite you guys to join us tomorrow. We're going to do another jump start, and we're going to be talking all about the updates in Windows 8.1. So if you've seen our jump starts from before, you can find those at aka.ms/jump480, jump481, and jump482. If you've seen those, this is going to be the refresher course. This is going to be the addendum that adds on everything that you need to know now that Windows 8.1 is out, okay? So we're working on Code Show for 8.1, but I'm going to go ahead and dive into Windows 8 code, and this is all out on codeshow.codeplex.com. That's an it's all open source. And if you look in the Windows 8 JavaScript project folder, you'll find an app packages folder. This is where, by default, whenever you create a package for the Windows Store using Visual Studio, this is where it lands. So, and we're not going to necessarily, well, I guess it would probably be helpful to show that real quick, so I'll get Visual Studio opening in the background. But whenever you build a package for the store, it lands in this app packages folder. And you get two versions of each thing. So you get a folder with all of the goodies inside of it. And that's good if you're trying to distribute it to somebody else, another developer on your team. You just want them to install it, whatever. But it also gives you these AppX upload files. All right. So I'm going to take one of these AppX upload files, and I'm just going to make a copy of it so I'm not working on the original. And I'm going to rename that, and I'm going to give it the last name zip. Do you want to change it? Sure. Now it's a zip file, right? Let me go ahead and extract that. So now I have a folder, and that's over here. This is what's inside of that zip file, okay? Now I'm going to take one of the files that's inside that AppX upload file is an AppX file. I'm going to take that, and I'm going to rename it to zip. So we've got two levels of zip files here. So I've renamed that to zip. Now I'm going to extract that one. We're going deep here. We're going two levels deep. Now I've got another folder, and I'm going to break that open. Now, because this is an HTML and JavaScript app that was written using HTML and JavaScript, you're going to see all of your HTML and JavaScript resources here. You're going to find default.html. Here's a JavaScript folder with a bunch of JavaScript in it. You're going to find all of your CSS, all of the other frameworks that we've used in here. There's a folder of images, and that's where all the raw images are. This is your AppX upload file dissected. This is what it looks like inside, okay? And this is exactly what the store is expecting, even though there are a variety of ways to get it. So by the way, if I open Code Show in Visual Studio, the way to build one of those packages from a Visual Studio project is quite simple. When you have your project open, and we're looking at Code Show right now, you just go to Project, Store, and then you choose Create an App Package. All right? So that's the AppX upload file. That's what the store wants, and we've dissected that. We've dissected that in its entirety, two levels deep, and looked at the raw guts of, let me get to my right slide, we've looked at the raw guts of the AppX upload file. Now, what is it that the game engines are going to give us? Skira Construct 2 delivers for you a Visual Studio project. So that's pretty cool. It gives you all of the Visual Studio, it gives you all your assets, your HTML, your JavaScript, and theoretically at least, you could go in and change that to your heart's content and do whatever you want with the JavaScript and do whatever you want with the HTML before you package that up into an AppX upload file and submit it to the store. Now, I say theoretically because the way that Construct 2 builds your code, the stuff that you've written in your game engine, it's pretty hairy. It's pretty difficult to parse that as a human being and figure out what's going on, and especially to modify anything. Now, if you want to overlay some things, so if you don't want to use the add framework that comes with your plugins, you've got something special going on, you can easily overlay things in that project and then build it. So that's pretty slick. Michael, do you want to tell us about what GameMaker offers us?
Basically, what it does, especially for Windows 8, is it's just the AppX upload file that you get. And of course, they're dynamically generating that every single time. So even though there is a way that, and some have figured out a way to get to the source and actually retro create a Visual Studio project from it, anything you would do in Game Maker from that point forward would destroy or be destroyed, so you have to be careful. But the actual, once you get the actual created APEX upload, it's the same thing that you would use to go ahead and submit to the store. And they provide a lot of things as far as metadata that you would typically do, let's say, in Visual Studio, like what are going to be my tiles, what are going to be, what do I want the name of the package to be, what's my certificate as my developer with my account. All of that can be done through the GameMaker IDE.
And then Unity has, it's going to deliver for you a Visual Studio project, and it's got a few different options. You can deliver just a raw C++ DirectX, or you can deliver, you can have delivered to you the C# XAML. So it's, I think the guts of it are still in DirectX, but you can overlay with XAML using that option.
Yeah.
Then you build, then you have your APEX upload file. Yep.
Cool.
So, that's what the different engines give you, and that's what the store is expecting, okay? So let's take a look at what it looks like to take this APEX upload file and actually submit it so that you're going to be in the store.
I want to see it.
Let's do it. I'm going to go to, make sure I'm not still sharing my slides, I'm going to go to this email or this website URL that you should probably commit to memory as a Microsoft developer, dev.windows.com, all right? Dev.windows.com takes you to a link that has, it's the Dev Center for developing Windows apps, and one of the components to it is the dashboard. Hmm. Some of the other components, by the way, is all of the sample projects, all of the documentation for the entire WinRT API, and all of that. But you also have your dashboard, and I'm going to go to the dashboard, and I'm already signed in, as you can see up here, I signed in as Code Foster, and so it shows a number of apps. Some of these I've created, and some of them I'm just working on, and some of them have failed certification.
Oh, I wanted that name, FakeApp87.
Sorry,
oh,
no, 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 no. I'm sorry,
okay.
But that is
you got
taken.
It taken. Okay.
I definitely got that one first. But if you wanted FakeApp88, you're again out of luck, because I'm just about to take it.
All right. Oh.
Okay, so what I clicked, I don't want to do that too quickly, so I'm going to actually go back and show you that again. From my dashboard, mm-hmm. I click Submit an App.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If you don't have any app, if you just recently got your developer token and you're brand new to the dashboard, all you're going to have is one tile on there, and it's going to say submit an app. Okay. Once you have more than one, then you have a link on the side, submit an app. So I'm going to click on submit an app, and that's going to take me to my application. My application is multi-stage. It's very nice because I can do some of it today, some of it tomorrow. I can get distracted if I want to. So it works like I do. The very first step is called app name, and it's super simple. There's one thing you need to do, okay? Well, after you sign in. So everybody close your eyes.
I saw it.
Did you see it? No. Okay. So the app name is the only thing that's needed here. Right. I could use this to just reserve a name.
Oh, that's
for instance,
evil.
Let me go ahead and reserve Dino Burger.
Oh! Do it! Do it!
No, I'll save that one for Adam. He might want that one. I'm going to go ahead with the almost as popular and in-demand fake app 88.
Okay.
Reserve the app name. It has to look for it. It's
Wait
looking
a minute.
In the app
don't,
universe.
Don't be too cocky. It might. Okay. I
okay.
Guess you
it's
got
reserved
it.
For our app. Good. I can save that. And now listen. This is important.
Okay.
I now have an app on my dashboard.
Sweet.
I have an application that's in the process of being filled out. That's important because from Visual Studio, if you want to create a package mm-hmm. that's already packaged for the store, you have to already have your app built in the application for it anyway on your store dashboard. You don't have to have the whole thing filled out. In fact, all you need is this app name.
You mean to tell me that from Visual Studio, I can't do this part? I have to go do this here?
Well, sort of. In Visual Studio, there's an option to
True.
Reserve your app name, but it just takes you here.
It just takes you here. So really, this is important.
Yeah. Yep. And this is my workflow. I come here first. Mm-hmm. I save my app name. Actually, I usually do that a few months before my app is completed, just to make sure that nobody
sure.
steals Dino Burger.
Yeah, and I didn't want to give the wrong impression to anyone. You should come here first and get your app name and get this stuff taken care of as much as you can. There's a point where you need the APEX upload, but as much as you can, you should probably start here. Don't get confused by what I said. Visual Studio provides you a link to come here, but just remember that URL he said, dev.windows.com.
Now let's jump over to Visual Studio. I'm going to close the project the Code Show project that I was currently working on. And I'm going to do a new project from scratch. New project. We're going to choose a JavaScript project using the hub template.
Cool.
We'll call this fake app 88. It's residing in my temp folder, which is the perfect place for it. There we go. Now let me run this app, and you can see that with zero effort, this is what a hub template gives me. Here's my Windows 8 app.
What?
All right, there we go. I've got a Windows 8 app. All I would really have to do is replace, let me get fancy here, replace, whoa, oh, I'm not in, I thought I was in PowerPoint for a second, sorry. Replace this image with an actual image and replace
sure.
some of these other ones, replace some of my data, you know. But I have a working app here. There's an item. Some of these sections have little chevrons on them, which means I can dive into that section. It's a working app. There we go. Now, if I want to, I'm going to close that app and go back to Visual Studio. If I want to put that app in the store, I already built the beginning of my application in the store, right?
Yeah.
So I want to go ahead and submit this. I want to package it up to be submitted. So I'm going to go to the project menu, like I showed you, store.
Mm-hmm.
Can everybody see that? Let me zoom in a little bit.
Using native magnifier.
All right. Project. Follow my mouse. Okay. Oh, and now I'm not in the project menu anymore. Using native magnifier. Okay, so I want to go to package, or project, store, create app packages.
I'm with you.
All right. Is everybody else with me? So here is an option. Are you building this package for the store? If you say no, then you can just build a package. It won't be the AppX upload, but you'll build a package and you could give it to your colleagues and install it on their machines, but it's not ready to
really?
Go to the store.
Hmm.
It doesn't have your store certificate built into the package. It's not going to work.
Okay.
But we have already created our application, so we just say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now it asks us to sign in again. Everybody close your eyes. You're on the honor system. This is a special program I have to white out the screen while I'm typing my...
That's impressive.
Yeah, isn't that good? Let's try this again. Sign in. Oh. Well, that is just flat not working. Well, that is interesting. Haven't actually seen that feature before. I'm going to reopen Visual Studio, open my fake app, and see... Oh, it was over there in my recent... Mm-hmm. See if just a restart, you know, restart is usually going to fix.
Now, I know I mysteriously replaced Adam Tulliper here, but I just wanted to confirm. Did you mention that you were actually using the preview version of Visual Studio 2003?
Yeah.
We're dealing with the preview.
I love having that as an excuse. Yeah, this is Visual Studio 2013 preview. If anything goes wrong, it's not my fault, right?
Okay.
But by the way, it works just fine. And
oh,
I think we should
now.
Blame Magnifier.
Okay. Oh, it was Magnifier. Okay.
There we go. All right. So it needs me to sign in. Visual Studio itself is going to look at the store, at my account, and see what applications I currently have in process. Do you see one that looks familiar?
Yes.
Yes, you do. Fake App 88. Next. It's now able to query the store and get the details about Fake App 88, the publisher, the official publisher name, the package identifier, things that I could look up on my own and go right into my package AppX manifest, but it's easier to let it do it. Now, this is where it's going to build the package. So I'm going to copy that location. I'm going to take all of the defaults here and just hit create in the interest of time.
Okay.
Now, in case you didn't copy that location, an easy way to get to it. Now, I'm sorry, let me not pass over this.
Okay.
This is going to give us an opportunity to launch what we affectionately call the WAC.
Ooh.
As in, that's WAC. This is WAC 3.0, though. The one that comes with Visual Studio 2013 preview is WAC 3.0. This launches a series of tests that take long enough that I don't want to do it on camera.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it takes 5 to 8 minutes. It takes a little while.
Okay.
It runs a lot of tests, very extensive, and you definitely want to do this before you submit an app to the store, because if it fails WAC, you were going to fail your store submission anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you may as well find out early. I'm not going to launch WAC. I'm going to hit close. And now, where did it actually build my package?
In the URL in the clipboard.
Exactly. It's on my clipboard, but if you forget to grab that, you can right-click on your project and hit open in File Explorer, and it put it in the app packages folder.
Wow.
Okay, let me dive into there. Again, this gives you two things, the folder with all of the AppX file and a PS1 file. This is a PowerShell file that you can use to install this application on somebody's machine. So if you zip this up and deliver it to your buddy and he has Visual Studio and a developer license on his machine, he can install your app right there.
Groovy
is exactly what it is. But if I come back up a level, because I chose to associate this with the store, I have an AppX upload file. I could dissect this and see everything inside of it. It wouldn't be any surprise. This is what the store wants. Okay, so we've got that part completed. We're working in two different workflows here. Here's Fake App 88 in the store. Let's go ahead and fill out the rest of this application. I'll save some time on some of it so I don't bore you with details, but I want you to see all of this. So step two is the selling details. This is where we implement what Adam taught us about monetization and our options for monetization. If we want to give this away as a free app because we're just a nice person, we can choose free, and then we don't have to implement any other in-app purchases or advertisement frameworks or whatever. It's free.
Correct.
Now, if I don't consider myself an extremely nice person and I want to actually make money, which is not actually a not nice thing to do, that's a double negative, so it's a nice thing to do. Let's charge people $249, okay?
Why not?
But let's definitely, I highly encourage you to give them a free trial period.
Oh.
The conversion rate on apps that have a trial period is pretty high, and the initial download rate of apps that have an initial trial period is like 70 times more or something like that. It's huge.
Wow.
And think about it. You see an app, it looks appealing, there's a trial mode, you say, hey, why not? I may as well, right? So let's give them 7 days, and that's all done. I don't have to implement anything in my app around trial except for that one
box.
No
code.
No code whatsoever.
What?
If I want to, I can query in my code and find out if I'm in trial mode, and I could do some things different, but I don't have to. And then after 7 days, it automatically says, hey, you're going to need to buy this. That's what the developer chose.
Gotcha.
Very easy. All right, I can choose that my app uses a third-party commerce system for in-app purchases. I'm not going to choose that right now.
Nice that we have that option, though.
Absolutely. I can choose what markets this is sold in. Now, one of the viewers of today's show asked in the chat a little while ago, why don't I see the Headless Chicken app, in my store? By the way, I'm in Brazil. And the reason why he didn't see it is because whoever submitted that app determined that it's not ready for the Brazilian market. They don't have all the titles in Portuguese. We don't think it's going to be of value. We don't want to put it in that market yet. And so they did not check the Brazil marketplace.
Do you mind if I say something here?
Sure.
So the other thing that you need to be careful here is you might have the inclination to select all of the markets and just think, well, I won't care about the language thing. I'll just make it English, and that should be good enough. And that could be good enough, but you also have to understand that some markets actually have some, especially when commerce is involved, they may have some rules, and there may be some regulations that you need to be aware of. So be careful, especially when commerce is involved, that you understand what those rules are, and you do have to do your due diligence.
Yep. Now, I have selected all, so we're gonna make this one available to all markets.
Nice.
I get to choose a release date. If it gets certified, should it go in the store automatically, or do you want an opportunity to do some marketing or something first? So we'll just say immediately.
Okay.
We'll pick a category. I don't know what kind of app this is. This is a blank app. Let's just say it's a food and dining app with no subcategory. And there are some other options I'm going to pass over. I will say, don't check that this app has accessibility considerations if you haven't done explicit work to make it accessible. If you check this and you haven't done certain things, you will fail, okay?
Okay.
Let's save that. That's going to take us back to our workflow and show us that we're done with steps one and two. It's nice and intuitive. I like that.
Wow.
Let's go click on services. If you want to integrate with Azure Mobile Services, this is a good way to tie that together. Mm-hmm. If you want to add some in-app offers, so if you have an in-app purchase, you want to sell a Level Pack 2, you would include that here. You would give it a unique product ID, so Level Pack 2, something like that, something that you can query in your app. And then you would determine that cost, like you're proud of this Level Pack 2. I mean, the initial game is $249, but this Level Pack is $220.
That makes sense.
That makes total sense, right?
Yeah.
And it's good for only one day.
That's great.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to sell a lot of these, and then I'm going to go ahead and hit save.
Okay. And, of course, that link there says you could add some more if you wanted to.
Absolutely. Yep, I could add many offers there if I'd like to. I then go into the age rating and rating certifications. Now, on this one, you have to read these carefully.
Oh.
And if you don't know which one to choose, choose 12 plus. Because if you choose too young, then if you have anything like, if your app even requests the capability of accessing internet, and you don't have special things in place, then it's going to fail certification.
That's
so choose 12 plus. And there's a bunch of information there that you should most definitely read. Since you've chosen some other markets, you need to have certification for certain markets. There are lots of safety checks in place. Mm-hmm. Cryptography is a super easy one. That's just saying, no, I don't have strong encryption in this app that's going to require a special license from the federal government in order to export, okay?
So that was easy to answer.
Exactly. No, and yes, I'm sure about my answer of
Look how many steps you've done.
Exactly. Now here's the beauty. Here's the magic. Here's where it wants the packages. So I go to the packages page, and all it wants me to do is upload the package. So I flip over here, and here's that APEX upload file.
Yeah.
I drag that over here, and it says, all right, cool. I'll go ahead and upload that for you. In Windows 8.1, there's a really cool ability for it to accept packages that represent your executable and packages that represent your resource pack. So if you want to build huge games, you don't have to upload a massive executable for each and every architecture. You can upload your different architecture executables, and then you can upload your resource pack separately, which is really good for the user. They don't have to download a ton of things.
Sounds like something that might be in that HTML5 refresh tomorrow.
It might be.
It might
be. Absolutely. Now, this has given us a little validation error on it as well. It should, but that's just fine. We're just going to skip that. Now, as soon as you fill out the packages and mm-hmm. you don't get the validation error, the last two steps are really straightforward. Description and notes to testers.
Right.
Okay, you go into the description, you describe your app, you give it some keywords. This is where you take screenshots of your app. And to take screenshots, by the way, all you really do is you run your app, and then you hold down the Windows key and print screen. And you'll see your camera will flash like it just took a picture.
Yeah.
And in fact, I just took a screenshot. So let me fly up in the air. Take another screenshot.
Oh, live action.
I know. We want to go back out. We want to.
Where did they go?
Let's go look in my pictures folder now at the screenshots. And you'll see that I have taken these three screenshots of Headless. All right? Those can be uploaded, and I give them captions. This is what your public is going to see. I say take very extra special consideration of the way your icon appears, how you describe your app, whether or not you have a trial experience, and I think you should, and what screenshots you have available. Those four things are really going to sell your app, okay? If there are 8 different apps in the store that do something similar to yours, people are definitely going to choose yours based perhaps on just the icon alone.
Cool.
That's a reality. Okay.
Sweet.
So we add some notes to the testers. This is if you have some sort of an app that you need to tell the testers, you need to sign in with a special account in order to test this functionality. Maybe they have to sign in with a special account to test the app at all.
Right.
So you need to give the testers some special notes. And then once you're done with that, this button here lights up, and you're able to submit for certification. You instantly get an email saying your app has been submitted for certification.
Nice.
And then in some period of time, rough, you know, under 2 weeks-ish or something like that, I've seen it happen in as few as 3 hours.
I have too.
You'll get another email that says your app's been certified, and then shortly after that, your app is in the store.
You might even get one sooner that says it wasn't certified.
Yeah, you might get one sooner that says it wasn't certified.
And if that happens, they'll explain, and then you have to go through the process again or repeat some of those pieces again.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, let me see if that does it for the store submission section. I believe we covered everything. And we're ready to move on to
game analytics. I'm so excited. This is the final portion of the final module. Very cool.
I'm feeling a little verklempt, though.
Oh, well, let me tell you, this is pretty cool stuff. I'm really going to enjoy this because I didn't even understand that this existed until I really started getting into gaming in the last year or two. And when I started to understand this more, I could see how some get real successful with what they do. Would you like to be successful at what you do with your game? You must listen to this portion. You will hear this and you will think, okay, I don't even know how I could submit a game without doing this. So, let's roll. Let's take a look. Gaming analytics. Let's first identify what it really means. Think of it this way. You could look at it as a report of all or potentially all aspects of gaming data. And I mean anything you want to know because you're kind of in control of all of this. Report is one thing. A live feed, a live report could be another. There's some ways that you can pull this off. And so analytics really says, what's going on? That's really what it's about. But not only what's going on, but what's going on that's important to you in order to know how to, one, strategically understand what to do, or two, understand what you need to fix or react to things that are going wrong. So that's really why analytics. If you think about it, analytics have existed for a while in websites. People who understand that notion of, they want to understand their traffic to their site. They want to understand who accessed their site. They want to understand all the data around all the traffic and the decisions made. Many of you understand that if you had a website out there and you wanted to understand the analytics of it, you implemented some kind of analytics engine so that you can get feedback such as, when I promoted this on Twitter or did this, was there a jump to the number of hits and views on this particular page? Well, guess what? You can do that in your game. Woo-hoo. It's exciting. It's very exciting. So we want to know how to implement that and leverage it. But the thing is that every single gaming engine is going to implement them differently. So this is not going to be a how-to. It's going to be a, here's what you need to know in terms of the term, you know, what analytics is. And I'm going to give you enough to say even what you get out of the box, which is coming up, and then some options that you can have moving forward. So I like that last line on this slide here, though. It says analytics replace guessing with strategic data. Don't say, I think this is what people do. Say, I know exactly what's going on. Then you can make some strategic decisions. So out of the box, if you take a look here, what Jeremy just showed you was how to upload your app or your game into the store. But once it's there and it's starting to go full, you know, throttle and people are starting to use it, we at Microsoft provide you information so that you can understand what's going on. So what we're looking at right now is what's considered the summary page. This gives you a little bit of understanding, like what's the current ratings. Now, this is actually from an app that I submitted, and this screenshot is from a while ago called Tile of Time, an app that just basically shows you the time on your start screen. And you could start to see the downloads, and you could start to see some of the various pieces of quality information. This is just the summary page. When we move to the next page, we could start to see usage. How is it used per day? And you can see that we can follow that for the last minute, 12 minutes, whatever the case is. It's pretty cool. I'm sorry, month. I'm saying minute, but I meant month. You can also get this demographic type of data. Where are people downloading it the most? And what age group? And down to gender. Now, again, this is what you get out of the box, but this is all regarded analytics, something that can help you understand your data. Recall that from the beginning, we talked about planning your game. Now, see, if you're planning your game correctly, that meant that you understood who your target audience is. And then the data that you're going to start to see on screens like this would indicate if you're getting to those folks that you want to get to. So make sure you're reading this stuff, and you get this for free. This is part of your developer account when you submit your app to the store. Now, you also get an idea of the quality, which can say, okay, are we primarily in that 5-star rating? Or are we starting to see a lot of things hit lower? This can give us a little bit of a gauge if people are happy or unhappy. Of course, it's going to be up to all of us to look at the actual reviews and read them and see what people are saying as far as the things they like or they don't like. But this can at least give you a little bit of a metric that says, what's the overall satisfaction of the app? But analytics, as we're talking about here, can go beyond even what Microsoft provides in the store, in the reports that we give you for your being a developer or having an account with us. You can implement a third-party analytics engine. And when you do this, you are in control of many things. So I want to talk through some of the statements that are on the screen, and I think you'll appreciate it. Suppose that you're making a game, And now you've started to ask that question, did the user even look at my options screen? See, you might wonder that, but with analytics, you'll just know. It's the same thing as if someone went to a website and did they view a certain page on the site. You'll know if you have analytics. Well, same here. The process works like this. You will have within your gaming engine, so for example, I use GameMaker. GameMaker has some API calls that can be indirect calls to third-party analytics engines. An example of one is Markdup, and there's even a Google Analytics for games. So you could use these little different third-party engines, and you can integrate them in with your gaming engine, so to speak. And then you can start to raise events within the app that says, someone looked at me. Someone looked at me. I'm the options screen. And then that information gets sent to the source where you're looking at your analytics, and you can start to see what's going on. And here's that next question. What is happening right now since we last updated? See, the Windows Store reports, you have to wait a full day before you can get the next, you know, jump of data, so to speak. But with analytics engines, you can find out live data right now as it's happening, so you can see trending data. Why did the review say that my game crashes? Now, the Windows Store does provide a crash report for you, but it doesn't really tell you why your game crashed. It just says you're crashing, and it might even give some error messages of some degree. But again, if you implement the analytics engine correctly, what you could do is raise events in strategic areas where you do your own exception management, and you can find out exactly what's going on because you're the one who's delivering that information from that event that was sent. The other one is how far do players actually go in the game? That could be another thing. You're wondering, when people play this game, do they go to level 6? Do they make it here? With analytics, you can find out. So it doesn't even have to be, did they go to the screen? It can be a condition of, did they make it to this level? Did they achieve this status? Did they do this or that? So that's why you would want to implement analytics in your game. Because when you do that, and again, going back to the very beginning when we're saying plan your game, you can be so fine-tuned and zeroed in that between the planning phase and now up to the analytics phase, you can really make some decisions to make your game as successful as possible, reacting to the community's wish list, if you will, and increase your monetization possibilities. So you should definitely consult with whatever your game, I have here framework, but it's really gaming engine documentation. You should consult to see how you can implement analytics in your game using that approach. So that's it with regard to analytics. I'm really excited that we were able to cover all these topics with you today.
Yeah, that was a lot of content, huh?
Tons of content.
Lots of stuff surrounding the creation of games. This is an exciting field, and it's actually one that developers, even without very much experience in game development or in development in general, it's one that you can really get in. You can really get in without a computer science degree, without 10 years of experience. You know, you can just kind of start, and you can start making games, and you can get great at it. We've worked with a lot of students mm-hmm. in the last year or so, and I know I got an email from one of those students recently saying, I just submitted my 10th app into the store, and that's pretty awesome.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's very good.
That's really good. So I hope you guys are as excited about this as we are.
Yeah.
Can we have Adam back on the screen?
Yeah, Adam, come on out.
It was great to have a third man on the show.
Wave hello, Adam.
Adam in 3D.
Hello?
Hi. Yeah, we got all three here.
A lot of fun.
You want a hamburger?
Yeah, sounds good. Right, I know.
Ready for dinner.
Very cool.
Actually, for some of you, it's time for breakfast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, wherever you are in the world, you might be hungry. So cheers to that. As far as a summary is concerned with all three of us here, so what would be your final line with regard to monetization strategies, Mr. Adam?
Analyze your application after you release it. And do iterative changes to your strategy. Find out what works.
What would you say about store submission, Jeremy?
It's a relatively, it's kind of a no-brainer process. You've got to put it in the store sometime. I'm just glad that it's a process that's simple and has a lot of good visibility so that I don't wonder when my app is going to be certified or if or what's going on with it.
Yeah, and as far as the analytics are concerned, you get some out of the box with the Windows Store account, and it's good data, but you might want to strongly consider having your own analytics in there so that you can capture what's important to you. And that is going to wrap up this module, and thus also wrap up this entire Jumpstart. I had a blast. I feel like the energy levels were high. It was pretty fun. What'd you guys think?
I think that the energy level was high.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to top your energy level.
It was fun. Fun. So thank you very much for spending the day with us, and we look forward to continuing the journey, whether it's through tweets or emails or whatever, and finding out what you were able to do. We already know some of you are making games. Continue with your mission to create some games, and have a great, great journey doing
but
that.
Before you tune out, make sure
wait,
you go.
There's more.
There's a little bit more. Make sure you go to the website, the one where you're watching the stream right now,
yes,
anyway, and complete the poll. There's a poll there waiting for you, and those are really
right
super helpful for
video.
Us.
Video.
Absolutely.
Right below him.
Mm-hmm. About there.
Or is it above? I don't know.
Is it above or below?
It's below.
It's below the
okay,
video.
Okay, below the video.
So do that.
It's right by the guy.
Do that thing there.
And also, make sure you tune into our Jumpstart tomorrow. I think we're going to have almost as much fun, at least two-thirds of the fun. Adam won't be here.
I won't be here.
Sorry that you won't be here, but...
I'll be here in spirit.
He'll be here in spirit.
I'll be watching it.
And he'll be here in 3D.
Very good.
Okay, sayonara,
thank you,
everyone.
Thank you very much.
Bye.